8 years ago, on April 14, 2014, Boko Haram attacked a government secondary school in Chibok and kidnapped 274 female students from their dormitory. Over 100 schoolgirls have been found or released in a series of negotiations between the government and the terror group Boko Haram, which means Western education is forbidden in Hausa. Despite the release so far, more than 100 are yet to be accounted for. In 2021, two girls escaped as waves of Boko Haram fighters and civilians fled the group's Sambisa enclave. Since the incident, many more schools and students have become targets of terror attacks and mass abductions in northern Nigeria, including the abduction at the Government Girls Science and Technical College, DAPCHI, and more recently the State College of Health Technology in the Tsafe area of Zamfara. These attacks continue to happen in spite of public outcries and the Safe School Initiative designed to protect schools and ensure a safe learning environment for children. Hello, welcome to The Crisis Room, a podcast from Human Angle. I am Maryam Mustafa. In this podcast, we look at crisis trends across the country and answer the tough questions around them. This week, I'm here with my colleagues Murtala Abdullahi, Hawasha Finuhu, and Kunle Adebajo.
Thank you, Maryam. As Nigeria commemorates 8 years since the Chibok schoolgirls' adoption, we'll be looking at the situation around the adoption, how the girls have survived so far, as well as the persistent attacks on schools that have continued since then.
Never again ought to have been the state response after the Chibok incident, but sadly, that wasn't the case. Just 4 years after that tragic attack, DAPCHI happened, where ISWAP, the rival faction of Boko Haram, kidnapped over 100 schoolgirls. Five of the girls were crushed to death during the abduction, while the remaining were released, except one of the students, Leah Sharibu, who is still being held captive.
Schools and students have experienced deadly violence in the course of the insurgents in the Northeast, and over the past few years, the Northwest has become the epicenter of school raids. Terror groups in the region now abduct students as part of a large-scale insecurity and kidnapping for ransom epidemic. The crisis has also extended to the neighboring Niger state in the North Central.
The violence is horrifying and persistent. Just a few days before the Chibok abduction's 8th anniversary, female students were abducted from Zamfara State College of Health Technology. All these attacks have happened despite the Safe School Initiative initiated after the Chibok girls' abduction, and this has led to public outcry and calls for better security and safeguards. To provide more insight into the school abductions and their aftermath are Hawasha Finuhu and Kunle Adebajo. They recently published extensive reports on the Chibok and DAPCHI schoolgirls. Let's begin with Kunle. You spoke with some of the Chibok girls. What's their experience been like since their release?
Well, from what I gather, it's been bittersweet. Sweet because many of them are receiving support from the government and other sources to continue their studies. Those at the American University of Nigeria receive a monthly stipend of 25,000 naira as well. And you know, now they can speak of their experience under the control of Boko Haram in the past tense. So that is really good. But then again, there are also several issues troubling the girls. The support they receive, especially from the Nigerian government, has its shortcomings. They do not have access to gadgets they need to be able to participate and compete in school. They are discriminated against by their peers and instructors because of their modest social class, so much that this reminds them of their time in captivity. And this discrimination is a major reason why some of them, at least 28, have dropped out of school. The girls also told me that their friends who left school have been totally abandoned, just like the children of some of them who gave birth while still in Boko Haram territory. They themselves say they can do much better if they are shown support and love.
What did you also find out about the remaining girls?
So, as of the latest count, about 106 of the girls are still missing, excluding those who are being held in Maiduguri to make them fit for reintegration. The honest truth is that it will be difficult to secure the release of these girls through military offensives or negotiations, especially since they have been forced into marriages with members of the terror group. Hopefully, we see more of them finding a means of escape, just as we've seen in the past. Many of the girls have been killed too. The insurgents have said it in public statements and in conversations me and my colleague have had with some of them who have deserted. Former abductees who saw their colleagues getting killed have also confirmed it. What they recently told me is they want the government to inform the parents of the girls who have died so they can get the closure they need to move on. For now, the authorities are still keeping the information a secret, which I honestly think is unfair.
Hawa, would you say there are similarities between the challenges facing the released Chibok girls and the Dapchi schoolgirls?
Oh no, they are facing different sets of challenges. For example, while the Chibok girls face discrimination and social exclusion in their new schools, the Dapchi girls are not even in school at all. And so you see them complaining of complete neglect from the government. They say that government hasn't followed up with them after the abduction to know how they are faring, if they have gone back to school, which they haven't. And so while the Chibok girls suffer from challenges related to successfully pulling through university, the Dapchi girls suffer from having to no longer go to school at all because of security concerns.
What did you find out about the impact of the abduction on the community and education?
The impacts of the Dapchi abduction on the community has been that parents no longer feel safe enough to send their children back to school because they no longer trust the government's ability to secure their lives. And then even the students themselves don't feel safe enough to continue because of the terrorist threats to abduct them again if they ever went back to school. So now what we have is a whole community of girls who either dropped out and got married or who transferred to Islamic schools instead, especially in Damaturu, or girls who just dropped out altogether.
Thank you, Kunle and Hawa. What's clear is that the government needs to provide more support to victims after the release. It's also important to invest in security measures that can deal with the insecurity, prevent these attacks from happening in the first place.
This is an episode of Human Angle Crisis Room. Thank you for listening. I am Maryam Mustafa. Join in next week for another episode. Members of our production team are Zubaida Babe Ibrahim, Tracy Allen Ezechukwu, Murtala Abdullahi, and Anthony Asemuta. The executive producer is Ahmed Salkida.